I'm Allie Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. I want to ask you a question today. Do you know how to take a real rest? I'm not talking about vacation. I'm not talking about sleep. I'm talking about those periods of time where you nourish your soul in such a way that it begins to thrive again. I want to speak today to those who are workaholics. In other words, you gain your worth and value out of what you do. And has that created a sense of being undone? Well, I want to tell you that I actually reached this point this past year, that we were working with a company and they were helping us in tremendous ways and pointing out all these projects that needed to be done with Treasured Ministries. And so I began to hunker down and work very hard and did a lot of things. We wrote two new ebooks. We redid the 21-day challenge. We created a brand new website. And we started our Treasure Tribe Facebook group. And all of these things that I was doing, they were good things, things that needed to be done. But what started to slip inside of my own personal life were my boundaries on time. I began to see work seeping into my evening hours after I'd finished cleaning up the kitchen. I started seeing it seep into my day of rest that I like to take every week. And I started compromising on those guardrails that I had set up in my life. And all of a sudden, I found myself out of balance. And this is a place in my life that honestly I can return to very easily. I love what I do at Treasured Ministries and I pour my heart into it. But God, over the past 3 months, has convicted me that it's time for me to take a rest. You know, the Bible talks about this. It says, make every effort to enter into the rest of God. And for me, working hard comes naturally. I'm a very driven, determined person, and I love what I do. But God is calling me to put my work down and to rest. And I have to tell you that that is not going to be easy for me. And I'll never forget, over the past 3 months, my husband came to me and he said, you need to take a rest. You need to put away teaching for 60 days and I want you to just rest. Well, I know that when my husband is speaking to me, I know the Lord, my husband is a wonderful, godly man, and he prays and he cares for me. And so I knew that was from the Lord, and I knew that I needed to take a rest. But getting my head around actually doing it when I'm running a ministry didn't add up. How was this going to happen? And so I sort of half-heartedly agreed with him, but then God began to speak in my life in an echo about the power of taking a sabbatical rest. And I began to see inside of his word that really that action of taking a rest, whether it's one day a week or you're taking a sabbatical rest, because when you look back in the Bible, there were inside of God's chosen people, that inside of the culture, he created celebrations. And some of those celebrations were annual celebrations, but then there were other periods of rest that happened, for example, periodically, like every 7 years. And I began to just look at this idea of rest and how pausing, whether it's pausing during the day, at night to go to sleep, or pausing once a week to take that day of rest, whatever it is, that really you are trusting God and his strength to do what God has called you to do. And when we look inside of the Bible, we see that when God created the earth, on the seventh day, he rested. And really, when we don't rest, it is that self-reliance, right? And not trusting God with our time. And so God began to really convict me of that truth, that as much as I love Treasured Ministries and want it to succeed, that rest is essential, that rest replenishes us. And the Lord began to really impress upon me and really brought me to a place where I knew basically that God was asking me to take a rest, and I had one of two choices, that I could either choose to surrender to what the Lord was asking me to do, or that God was going to make that rest happen in my life. How many of you have been there, right? Where you've been, you know, just working so hard, and then something happens inside of your life where you are made right to rest. Something stops, something, maybe there's, you know, just something that happens in your life. Maybe with the, as I'm filming this podcast, we've been through the pandemic, and maybe that was like God putting on the brakes inside of your life. And the thing for me about entering into the season of rest is that I really began to seek the Lord and say, God, I don't know how to do that. I really don't know how to take a rest. Now, God has been leading me in this direction. He has taught me about the importance of Sabbath rest, taking one day a week to really rest in him. But taking 60 days to pull away from teaching with Treasured Ministries and preparing for that, like getting the teaching ready so the podcast keeps going, and but then really seeking, like, what does it mean to take a rest, and how do I do that? And so God began to speak to me, and I began to really just seek out some wise counsel. And so today we're going to begin a podcast series on rest. And if God is asking you to take a rest, or maybe it is that you are getting enough sleep and you're getting enough exercise, but you still don't feel rested, well, maybe some of what God has shown me and what I'm going to share with you can be of benefit to you. Because the reality is that when we have lived a life gaining our worth and value out of what we do, it's easy to tip out of balance and become busy but not fruitful, to become frantic and frustrated, to have that cluttered calendar but maybe not be producing what God wants us to produce. And the Word says, in rest and repentance is your salvation, and quietness and trust is your strength. And when we rest, it revives our soul. When we rest in ways that God has intended, production and fruit actually follow. And much like when you tithe, you're trusting God with your finances. When you choose to incorporate rest into your day, into your week, and into your year, you're basically saying, God, I trust you with my time. I trust you, Lord, really you're trusting in God's effort and not in your own strength to see something through. So I'm really excited to share with you what God has been showing me, because I would imagine that there are women who are listening today and you're weary and you're worn out, or maybe you've hit a burnout point, maybe in something that you used to love to do, but you're just burnt out. Or perhaps it is that you've run so crazy that things in your life are coming, the priorities have come completely out of whack. Well, I want to invite you to listen into this next series inside of our podcast, because we're going to be talking about how to take a real rest. And I've got some great things for you. Today I'm going to be giving you a teaching message from the book of Ephesians, and then I've interviewed an amazing author, Sandra Dalton Smith. She's written a book called Sacred Rest. Can't say enough about it. And I'm going to share my interview with her. And my prayer is that you will seek the Lord inside of this, and that perhaps in the pause that happened from this pandemic, that you realize that maybe priorities got out of order, and that from these podcasts, that maybe you'll learn what I'm learning, which is how to take a real rest. So let's dive right into our scripture today. I'm going to be in the book of Revelation in the second chapter. And starting in this chapter, there are several messages that are given to churches. And I want to concentrate on the message that was given to the church at Ephesus, because they were being called to take a rest. And so we're going to be looking at why this happened and what may have caused this and what God told them to do to take a rest. Because again, a rest in the Lord is not necessarily going on vacation. I mean, we've all experienced going on a vacation and coming back and feeling like we need another vacation from our vacation, or maybe you're saying, well, I can't go anywhere. It's about taking a rest in the Lord. And it's really when we plug into His presence in a very practical but planned way that's where our souls are able to revive. So let me begin first by just reading the scripture. And this is Ephesians starting chapter 2, verse 1. Write this letter to the angel of the church of Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. Now, let me just stop right there. This is to the church of Ephesus. And when it talks about the angel of the church of Ephesus, there are different opinions on that. Some theologians say, you know, this is perhaps a guardian angel of the church of Ephesus. Other commentaries that I read, quite a few actually, said that these were more like the elders or the messenger to the church. But whomever it is, it's a leadership position inside of the church. So those are the angels. And then it says, this is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand. And that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is really the head of the church. And so that's what he's saying there, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. Now, the seven gold lampstands in this passage, that represents the seven churches inside of Asia during the time, the seven major churches. And so for all these seven churches, there's a message that the Lord wants to bring to them. And this is the message that he's bringing to the church of Ephesus. So it says this, it says, I know all the things that you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But this complaint I have against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. You don't love me. And so the message is this. He's saying, I see all your hard work. I see all that you've done. I see how you've been around evil people, but you haven't tolerated their evilness, and you've discovered that they're liars, and yet you don't love me. Now, here's what you need to know about the church at Ephesus. If you go back and read the book of Ephesians, Paul commends them on their love for God and for each other. And we know that when we receive God's love and when we love Him, that basically gives us what we need to love others, that we love others out of the overflow of our love relationship with God. And so back in that letter to Ephesians, that love was there and it was vibrant, so vibrant that it was overflowing to others. But all of a sudden, the church of Ephesus had become busy. They had been working hard and doing good things, but their good things took them away from the best thing, which was loving God. And oftentimes when you and I work hard like that, you know, and especially when we're doing good things, that there can be a discrepancy, but our ministry should never overtake our worship or our personal relationship with God. And sometimes we can get so busy doing good things, being a good mom, doing all these things inside of our lives. And as women, we're nurturers by nature, and we have so many people under our responsibility. And then all of a sudden we wake up one day and we don't have peace in our heart, and we don't feel like we have direction, and we want to cry out, God, where are you? I can't hear your voice anymore in my life. I feel distant from you. And it's deceptive. Our doing becomes deceptive because it looks good. It looks like all this good. And that's exactly what happened to the church of Ephesians here. And so God, and don't you love this, that in His love for them, He says, I see your hard work. I see that you haven't tolerated evil. But I love you and I want you to love me. And isn't that amazing that the Creator of the universe pursues us in such a way, with such a passion, that the bottom thing that He wants from us is not necessarily our doing, but our being with Him. And when the scale gets tipped and our priorities get out of kilter, that's when God gets our attention and He says, it's time for you to return to me. Now, one thing that I want to say inside of this podcast, and we're going to go over what I think, because, you know, how did they get to this place? How did the Church of Ephesus get to this place where their love for God had grown distant? Now, I want to give you just from this passage, three reasons why I think this may happen, and three reasons why this may be happening right now in your life. And so the first thing that I want to say is that that they were working hard. They were working hard. That's very clear in Scripture. And here's what I think, that their activity pushed out authentic intimacy with God. their activity pushed out authentic intimacy with God. And, you know, taking that rest, that spiritual rest with God, it's, you know, oftentimes if we're on, you know, we're on the worship team at church or we're on this committee here and we're doing lots of good things, it can somehow become deceptive. Our doing can come deceptive and we can leave that intimacy with God. And so sometimes our activity, while well-intentioned, can push out authentic intimacy with God. And that's what I think happened here. And I want to ask you, is that happening in your life? Just sort of take account for that. And then the second thing that could potentially be happening here is that the Church of Ephesus, the region of Ephesus, was a prosperous region. In fact, it was one of the three most influential cities in the eastern part of Asia. It was had the richest banking center in the world. The Temple of Artemis was there, so it was a main city. And sometimes in areas where you and I are prosperous, where you and I have a natural strength inside of our life, self-reliance can emerge. A lack of dependence on the Lord can happen. And we see that inside of the wilderness, that the Lord, through manna, he was teaching dependence on God. And he warned the Israelites. He said, I'm teaching you this because when you get into your area of prosperity, when you get into your promised land, I don't want you to forget who your provider is. I don't want you to forget and not depend on me. And we know that that's exactly what happened to the Israelites. And see, when you and I are in those times of need of God, the dependence on him, that dependence is that sweet place. And sometimes that can be the easiest thing when our life is difficult. I'll never forget interviewing a woman whose husband had had an affair and left her and her two children. And during that time, before she met her new husband and God redeemed that entire situation, but during that time, between her husband leaving her and God redeeming it, she walked through a wilderness. But what she said to me is, I've never been closer to God in my life before, and I've never grown deeper in my relationship with him. So much so that when she got remarried, one of her concerns was, you know, Lord, I don't want this vibrant relationship that I have with you to end. And see, it's in times of plenty or in times of strength, or where we're strong, that that can suffer because we replace, you know, surrendering to the Lord and depending on him for our self-sufficiency. And certainly that was the circumstance in that region of Ephesus, that it was a prosperous area. And so be careful that in your times of plenty, that you remember to depend on the Lord and to keep that relationship with him vibrant and real. Because really every day we need to depend on him, and especially in times of victory, in times where we see his goodness. I think about David, that he had his affair after he had experienced a victory and he was operating out of self-reliance, right? And not really walking inside of God's will. So that's the second thing. The first thing that we talked about was how their activity pushed out the authentic intimacy. And the second thing is that potentially their area of strength created self-reliance that made them not see the need to depend on God's strength. And then the third thing is this. The third thing is this, is the toxic relationships around them. Now, it talked about inside of this passage, it says, I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have determined they are liars. And you know, when we are around people that are deceptive in our life, when we are around people that are toxic, they have evil influence. When we are around people in particular that say they are Christians, but they're really not, those toxic ties in our life, they can have an effect. Now, it was very clear here that they did not tolerate the evil. It says that they discovered that they were liars and that they examined the claims of the apostles. So there were very clear boundaries in here. But what I want to point out is that when you have confrontation with people, when you have to deal with a unhealthy relationship circumstance where you have determined that somebody has been dishonest to you, that those are all energy stealers inside of your life in a huge way, in a huge way. And it can put a drain on your emotional energy and create that need for that spiritual rest in the Lord. So those are three reasons. And I want to just, in closing out the podcast today, and we're going to continue our teaching next week, ask you a few questions. Number one, what does your calendar look like? And is there any activity that you're doing? One of the most important things that we can do is examine our activity and not just say, well, we're doing something good and so we should be doing it. Because if you begin a work in the flesh, you have to keep it up in the flesh. We need to ask ourselves, is there any activity on my calendar that was not authored by my Creator? Is there anything that I'm doing just out of burden or because I need to please other people? Is there anything, Lord, on my calendar that I need to take off my plate? Now, in my life, I had to examine my calendar. And when I looked at everything that I was doing, and really, as I'm taping this or recording this podcast, we're in the pandemic season, and that was really when the Lord put the brakes on all the activity, it opened up a door for me to really examine my calendar and to really look at my motive for everything that I was doing. And it was very hard because I would say, well, I don't want to let go of this, God, because, you know, I love this small group that I'm leading, or I love this, or I don't want to let go of this, right? But the Lord knows. And if we will have courage to let go and really just separate ourselves from it for a while, there can be freedom in place. So I had to look at my calendar, and then I had to listen to the Lord about Treasured Ministries. And for me, taking a 60-day break from teaching, now we've got lots of podcast material planned, so our podcast is going to continue, but I can't tell you the amount of faith it's going to take for me to do this, right? But so examine your calendar and ask the Lord, is there an activity that I need to maybe pause for a little while, or that I need to put off of my plate so that I can make room only for what is Spirit-led in my life, right? So that I can just be right in the center of your will. And sometimes if you're confused about something, sometimes it is good to take a pause and a break from that activity. Number two, is there an area of self-reliance in your life, or looking at your strengths? And maybe you've relaxed your dependence on the Lord. So seek Him out for that. And then number three, are there relationships in your life that are toxic? Toxic relationships take a toll on your life. And sometimes we may need to hit pause on a relationship to put it in its proper perspective, or just to really acknowledge that perhaps you've had to have confrontation with people in this circumstance, and that has been a difficult relationship, and that maybe there needs to be a pause. You know, inside of our lives and inside of our relationships, we were designed to have a close, like inner circle of relationships where there would be a giving and receiving. And then there are other relationships that are completely give-based, where we are just giving out to those relationships. And we need to make sure in our life that we have a balance inside of that area, because if we're in situations that are give-based, especially if they're toxic, it is going to take a toll. So examine that inside of your life, the activity, the self-reliance, or the toxic relationships that could potentially be pulling you away from that time of real rest with the Lord. All right, so that's your assignment for today in part one of our series on rest. And in my podcast next week, we're going to be going through, if you find yourself, you're listening to this podcast and you're saying, I recognize this in my life. You know, Eileen, I feel distant from God. I feel like I go to sleep, but I don't feel rested. How do you enter back into that rest? That's going to be in my podcast next week. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.